Good morning. Welcome to each of you as we're privileged this morning to worship God on his first Sunday of Christmastide. We'd like to, as always, encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors down the road to sign as well. If this is your first visit to Berea Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. If you would drop by and let us know it's your first visit, we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. Christmas decorations will be taken down and stored beginning at 10:30 tomorrow morning. If anyone's available to help Kathy Gorman and others with this task, all the help would be certainly appreciated. The 2020 contribution envelopes for those who have requested them are now available back in the foyer. Please do pick yours up and then mark your name off the list. That will save us a significant amount of postage at the end of the year. And elders, deacons, and junior deacons, please plan to attend one of the training sessions in the sanctuary during the Sunday school hour on Sunday, January 12th or the 26th, or on Monday evening, January 13th at 7 o'clock. We'll be reviewing the procedures for the preparation and serving of the Lord's Supper on Sunday mornings. And please also consider joining our van ministry, in which we pick up somewhere between 9 and 13 kids most Sundays. Some Sundays we even have up to 17 folks that ride our van who wouldn't normally be able to attend Sunday school. We only have two of us driving currently, and it's quite a challenge for the same folks to fill that task each week. It's really a fun job that would be even more fun if we could share it among many others. If you're interested, please contact me or the church office. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right, Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Prince of Peace. Let us sing hymn number 167, all stanzas.
Tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Thanks to Abigail and Ava for being our candlelighters this morning. May we bow in a moment of prayer. Oh Lord, as we end our Advent season, we do give thanks for the privilege of celebrating the birth of our Lord over the past four Sundays. And as we begin to look towards a new year, we hope to feel a renewed purpose in life and renewed relationships with each other and with you, O Lord. We welcome your presence now as we begin our worship together. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Wow, we have a group here. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. That's a good one. It's got a little southern accent to it. I like that one. So, did you all have a Merry Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, did Santa Claus come? Yeah. Did you give gifts? Good. Somebody gave me a lovely gift that I'm wearing today. And I thank them very much. Anyway, So we learned in the last few weeks about angels, didn't we? Yeah, can you remember some of the people that the angels brought messages to? Come on, you're a big group. You can remember.
The angels send a message down to where we are.
To Earth, and they brought messages to...
people.
Well, yeah, people. People like Joseph and Mary and Zechariah. And who are those guys out there tending their sheep? Well, yeah, wise men too, maybe. Yeah. So when the angels left those shepherds on the hillside, it got very dark and very quiet. So what do you think they felt? Did they think that that might be everything? Was that the end of it all?
No.
Right. No. Because the angels played a big part, not only in the Christmas story, but all through Christ's life. So they came and one night in a dream to Joseph, and they warned Joseph to take the baby and Mary far, far away, because a very mean, nasty man by the name of Herod wanted to kill him. So Jesus took Mary and Joseph and went far away. And the angels came and administered to Jesus when he was being tempted by the devil and when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And how many of you can remember the Easter story? Can you remember who rolled a stone away?
Say that. The angel did.
Right, an angel did. And who came and told the women when they went to that tomb and they saw it was empty?
That Easter Bunny?
I don't think quite yet, but angels sure did, didn't they? So can you tell me, do you think that angels played a big part in Jesus' life?
Yes,
they did, didn't they? So we all know a little bit more about angels now, don't we? Great. Okay, let's close our eyes and say a little prayer. All right, can you close your eyes and say a little prayer? No? Lord, may we, with grateful hearts, join the angels' song of glory to the newborn King, God's most glorious gift to all of us here on earth. Amen.
As we go to God in prayer this new week, we want to lift up Anna Egret as she is anticipating surgery tomorrow morning at the North Kansas City Hospital. We also lift up Glenn Bartley as he is continuing his recovery from rather extensive neck surgery, which took place the day after Christmas. Psalm certainly would like to express a word of thanks to everyone who was present for those many hours of that surgical procedure for Glenn. And Psalm, we're glad he's back home, right? We just praise God he's able to be home and resting. We lift up David Haynes in our prayers. Again, Dave remains at home in the midst of the respiratory concerns that he deals with on a daily basis. And Ardith and Dave also want to celebrate the fact that they have a new great-granddaughter, Willow Dawn, born into the family on Friday of this past week, the granddaughter of Dawn and Craig. So many congratulations, Ardith, to you and your family. We just praise God for that. Thank you. We lift up Jill McCombie. Jill was actually... had surgery just before Glenn had, by the same surgeon. So we had a whole boatload of us, you know, enough to have a Sunday school hour there in the waiting room. But Jill was able to go through her surgery that same day and was able to return home and making good progress. She was at the early service. We lift up Wanda Egret's brother, Leon, in our prayers. We also remember Michelle. You and your family, we just continue to lift you up in the midst of the treatments you're undergoing. We also continue to remember Arlita White's sister, Mary Triplett, and a number of other people that have been on our prayer list for some weeks now. I notice that we've had a number of people that are missing. I know some of our families are traveling, but I also notice that some of you have family members with you. So hope you all are having a wonderful a holiday season here in the midst of Christmas and New Year. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, as we begin a new week, we also acknowledge that we are beginning a new year in which we find ourselves reflecting upon experiences of the past year while also wondering what 2020 may have in store for us. With a blank calendar before us, it may be with some level of apprehension that we review our present lot, but as Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17 and 18 reminds us, our great task is to continually honor you and to know that in you our hope will endure. For as the psalmist declares in Psalm 32, if we keep our eyes upon you, you will instruct us and teach us in the ways that we should go. For as Jeremiah chapter 29 tells us, you have plans for all your children, and they are not plans for evil, but instead are plans for our welfare and for a hopeful future. For we realize that our greatest future is tied not to material prosperity or personal gratification, but rather our greatest joy and fulfillment springs forth from our relationship with you through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For as John 17 reminds us, eternal life means to know you, the one and only true God, and to know Jesus Christ, whom you sent. And as John the Evangelist reminds us in the first chapter of 1 John, it is in knowing Christ Jesus that we experience complete joy. We seek your abiding comfort for many in need, O God, as we are assured that you wish the best of comfort and joy for all your children. For as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, you desire to graciously give us all that may bring us comfort through your presence. This we pray, as we also recite the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Nathan, we thank you for doing the marathon of reading our scriptures through each service for all of December. Thank you, Nathan.
Good morning. We have two scripture lessons for you today. First one comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Second comes from Matthew again, chapter 2, verse 2. So let us open our hearts and prepare us for God's message for us this morning. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord to the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born, King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks today for the gifts of time, talent, and treasure that you bestowed upon all of us. In the year to come, please help us find a way through this church to use those gifts to help all those in need. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
No crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and bid us for heaven to live with thee.
Having appeared in every hymnal published by the Disciples of Christ since 1905, this morning's communion hymn, "Here at Thy Table, Lord," has been enjoyed by congregations for generations. But despite the hymn's popularity, absolutely nothing is known about the hymn's author, May P. Hoyt. But maybe that is as it should be. Because as we gather at the Lord's table, as the author tells us in the first verse, we are calling our thoughts away from self and sin, as to Christ's banquet hall we enter in. So as we sing all stanzas of hymn number 384, "Here at Thy Table, Lord," may we focus our attention not on ourselves, but rather on the redemption that is afforded to us by Christ our Lord.
Here at thy table, Lord, this sacred hour, oh, let us feel thee near in loving power, calling our thoughts away from self and sin, as to thy banquet hall we enter in. Sit at the feast, dear Lord, break thou the bread, fill thou the cup that brings life to the dead, that we may find in thee pardon and peace, and from all bondage win a full release. Come then, O Holy Christ, feed us, we pray. Touch with thy pierced hand each common day, making this earthly life full of thy grace, till in the home of heaven we find our place.
And as we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Lana leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to this table today at this wonderful time of year with very grateful, humble hearts for the greatest gift ever given. We thank you for that gift, that little boy that grew up and preach throughout the world your precious words, your precious spirit. And we're so grateful for that gift. We're so grateful for the fact that our sins are forgiven because of the life he led, the suffering that he did, and the blood that he shed. And we just come now again with humble, grateful hearts as we think of him as we take this bread and this wine. In Jesus' name, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
It has been reported that 50% of recipients will return a Christmas gift during these early days after Christmas. All the work of returning and exchanging gifts reminds me that all too often there's a great chasm between wishes and wants and that which we truly need. And maybe that is why Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, that with all his abundant wealth through Christ Jesus, that God will supply all our needs, not our wants. Wishes and wants are fleeting and change with age, but the needs of the heart, spirit, and soul are timeless and eternal. Thus, it is with little worry about a return policy that we offer a portion of our resources for the purposes of God's kingdom here on earth, offering thanks to God who supplies us our everlasting needs instead of our temporal wishes and wants. With all of these thoughts in mind, Judy leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear God, we come today with thankfulness in our hearts for all the blessings that we have received, both as a church and as individuals this past year. And we bring our offering today, both large and small, to continue blessing our church and our community. We ask that you would bless this offering and guide us in the use of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. May we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we're grateful for the privilege to be in your house and to celebrate the truth that as a child is born unto us, so is your presence with us always. For this truth we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. The Christ child now lying in the manger of our nativity scenes. I hope you all haven't quite put everything away yet. Maybe you still have that nativity scene set up at your home, just like we have our nativity set here in front of us, to my right and your left. I think the star is new this year, is it not, Kathy? I bet you rigged that up for us this year. We finally got a bright star in front of above our nativity scene, so thank you, Kathy. I appreciate that. But as we gaze upon the nativity scene now, we also recognize that the Christ child is there. And it is to remind us that God chooses to be up close and personal with us as his children. In this morning's scripture that Nathan read to you from Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter, we know that Joseph was contemplating a private divorce from Mary, to whom he was engaged, for it was evident that Mary was with child, and Joseph certainly knew it wasn't his child. And therefore, the intervention of the dream, as verse 20 tells us, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in that dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So you see from this text, it is right after this dream that Joseph takes Mary to be his wife. And the text goes on to say with verse 22, "And all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet." And of course, the prophecy that's lifted up here is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which simply means in Hebrew, "God with us." And of course, then as the text continues, verse 24, "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded, and he took Mary home as his wife." So as this Christmas season is now what we call Christmas tide, you know, again, this time that we celebrate the presence of the Christ child with us, we know that we are celebrating that a child free from sin was born into the world, and he became that unblemished sacrificial lamb who gave himself as the final sacrifice for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. Even John the Baptist knew who Jesus was, as he says in John chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And again, he knew what his purpose was. As John the Baptist said, "Who takes away the sin of the world." You know, God has always tried to be up close and personal with humanity. And in fact, we have no earthly idea what a glorious experience the world may have been if we did not have the fall from grace in the garden. Because again, remember, in that environment, there was a up close and personal day-to-day, moment-by-moment connection with God. And yet, in spite of the banishment of humanity, it's not very much further into the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, that the text tells us that the Lord appeared to Abraham in the sacred trees of Mamre. As Abraham was sitting at the entrance of his tent during the hottest part of the day, he looked up and saw three men standing there. And Abraham offered the best that he had in gracious hospitality to his guest. And again, those three angelic visitors were the essence of God's presence with Abraham. And of course, it is that point that God foretells the truth that Abraham and Sarah would give birth to a son who would be the establishment of the ongoing nature of the Hebrew nation, with the patriarchal fathers of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Again, God striving to be up close and personal with his children. And God's presence doesn't stop there. We know that even as they are making their way across the wilderness experience with Moses as their leader, the text tells us that God's presence is with them through the pillar of cloud by day, and the pillar of what by night? Pillar of fire by night, right? And the Hebrew says that it is literally God's presence among them in that expression of fire and cloud. And God doesn't stop there, does he? Then, of course, we have the messages of the prophets for centuries. And even as they strive to speak for the people who are so deaf in their willingness to comprehend God's desire to be with them, time and time again, we have prophetic messages that God had even more in store for them, that God was going to be present with them. Look at the prophecies. Isaiah again, chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah prophesies that a pure young woman would give birth to God's son. Then in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Isaiah prophesies that Jesus Christ would come as a baby. And then in the text of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, Micah prophesies that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. And on and on and on it goes. We have multiple prophecies lifted up in the Old Testament saying that all of this about the coming of God in the form of a child will be true. Until finally in Luke chapter 2, the prophecy is fulfilled as the angel declares in verse 11, the angel says to the shepherds out in the fields across Bethlehem, this very day in David's town your Savior was born, Christ the Lord, and this will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And this declaration was, of course, emphasized by the great army of heaven's angels who then appeared across the vast expanse of that sky and declared glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased. And of course, we know that then Jesus, as he grew up, became a man. He dwelt among us so that we may know God in a most precious and wondrous way. You know, we say we don't know God. We say we don't know Jesus. Maybe it's just because we just don't read enough about what the Gospels tell us. You know, in the time it will take you to watch the commercials during the Chiefs game this afternoon, you can read the Gospel of Mark. It's that short. So mute the commercials and start reading. You can do the Chiefs game and God at the same time. Because in just that short period of time, the Gospel of Mark will tell you so much about our Lord. If you want to know about Jesus from a human perspective, read the Gospel of Luke, because Luke, as a physician, gives great empathy to the human predicament. If you want to know how the early believers were trying to persuade the Jewish folks to make a conversion to the Christian faith, read the Gospel of Matthew, because they were the folks that Matthew was trying to convince. If you want to know the spiritual side of Jesus, read John's Gospel, because it has the greatest spiritual emphasis for us. Read the Gospels. That's all it takes. And you can learn about the aspects of Jesus' personality and what it means to be God-like. And yet, throughout the Scriptures, time and time again, the texts are telling us of the truth of God's presence in Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. John chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, before there was Abraham, I am. John chapter 1, 14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory, as of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus says, I am the Father. The Father and I are one. John 14, verse 9, Jesus said of himself, he who has seen me has seen the Father. We need to get up close and personal with our God. just like he wants to be up close and personal with us. But what does that take? It takes time. It takes commitment on our part. You know, years ago, I purchased 6 Japanese koi fish. They are a hardy variety of carp that sport a myriad of colors, reds, oranges, yellows, black and white. Japanese koi are the kind of creature whose care you need to disclose in your will, because they can actually live quite healthily up to the age of 50. And they will grow from being, you know, little tiny guys about yay big, and they will grow up to 3 feet in length if given enough space to do so. My 6 koi grew and grew as the large tank that they were in circulated water like a river at the rate of 400 gallons a minute. I knew how to take care of my Japanese koi, and they did quite well. But as they got up to about 8 inches in length, I knew there wasn't going to be much longer before I was going to reach that point where I needed to find them a new home, and I really wasn't interested in building a bigger aquarium for them. But I did get to know them quite well for the years that I had them, because this rather large aquarium was actually in my home office. And of course, not only did I have the opportunity to care for them day to day, but I also had the opportunity to watch them day after day as I did my paperwork there, you know, in my home study. But as time went on, I finally made the move. I was able to get in touch with the curator of fishes at the San Antonio Aquarium. And when he found out, after viewing my koi, he actually opened up the container that I had with an aerator in it and everything to keep them healthy, even as I transported them to 2 hours to get to San Antonio. He opened up the lid and he looked down and he said, "My, those are healthy koi." He says, "Let's just pick them up." And we just picked up the carrier thing, and we just dumped them into the pond right there at the front entrance to the San Antonio Zoo. And that was their new home. As the years went by, however, I got a chance to go by and see them, even after I'd moved away to other parts of the state. I could still go to the San Antonio Zoo, stand there, and look in the ponds, and I could point out the 6 koi that I helped raise. How was it that I was able to do that? The same way that you can tell your dog from a bunch of dogs or your cat from any other cat. Why? The markings and the personality. Right? If you spend enough time with another creature, you will get to know that creature, won't you? But you've got to spend the time. So it is in our relationship with God. We have to understand that God knows the markings of our personalities, our traits, our fears, our joys, our apprehensions, our hopes. And God wants you to know the same of Him. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. God says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you." And as Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep." So yes, you see, our nativity scenes, we may be putting them away in the days ahead, but let us not forget Christ, His presence, came to live among us as one of us in the form of that infant child, so that we may know God in the most intimate and wondrous way. Do you know Christ If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. And maybe today is that day you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 170, How Great Our Joy Will Sing, stanzas 1 and 4 of hymn number 170. May we stand and sing, please.
While by the sheep we watched at night, lo, there appeared an angel bright. How great our joy, great our joy. Joy, 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 joy. Glory to God who reigns on high. Glory to God who reigns on high. Jesus, the gift from heaven above, fills all our hearts with joy and love. How great our joy, great our joy. Joy, 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 joy. Glory to God who reigns on high. Glory to God who reigns on high.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning, and we wish you the very best as we make that transition from 2019 to 2020 this week. Again, a reminder, tomorrow, 10:30 in the morning, for those who are able. I know that Kathy and others could certainly use some help here trying to work with getting our decorations all stored. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we give thanks for the day and the privilege to be in your house. Guide us today and always, as we know you love us so much that you came into the world and became one of us. For the privilege to know you in such an intimate way, we are indeed grateful. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
As with gladness ages bold did the guiding star behold, as with joy they hailed its light, leading onward, beaming bright. So true morning star may we evermore your splendor see. As they offered gifts most rare at the manger plain and bare, so may we with holy joy, pure and free from sin's alloy, all our costliest treasures bring, Christ to you from whom they spring.